Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan is here. Rob Sanders, our fabulous producer, he's doing a stupendous job. So we appreciate that. We have a guest in the studio. We're going to introduce him in one quick moment. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. You can check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You're welcome throughout our show to email us at onthemark@wdkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. With that, we got our introductions of Joe and I. We have a guest in the studio. Mark Friedenberg is here in person. Hello, Mark.
Good morning. So glad to be with you.
Yeah, welcome aboard. Very glad to meet you. I think I've probably spoken to you half a dozen times. We'd call you about important national issues that would pop up during this congressional campaign and the previous one.
And you might mention that he is a candidate, Democratic candidate, for the 12th Congressional District of Pennsylvania.
What Joe said is true. So you're a candidate again for the special election that's coming up May 21st. So I keep thinking, oh, don't worry about it. That's not till May. But guess what? Three weeks away, right?
3 weeks away. In fact, we were just on the ride up, somebody called in and said, hey, why aren't the polls open? I was trying to vote today. Oh. Yeah, people are ready to go.
Oh, not quite yet. But anyway, all right. So you are running in the 12th district. You're the Democratic nominee, having been selected by your party to represent the party on the ballot. And I know you as a professor at Penn State University. Introduce yourself to our audience in person. Now this time you get to do it.
Yeah. Thank you. I teach cyber law and cybersecurity at Penn State. And I live in Ferguson Township, right near State College, with my wife Becky and my two young daughters, Claire and Molly. Before my time at Penn State, I worked for law firms that were suing the big Wall Street banks that caused the financial crisis in 2007 and 2008. And in my time there, I got to see the really callous way that the Wall Street banks were willing to take the risk and pass it on to the next guy. And that created a ticking time bomb for our economy. And that really made me realize that we need to have somebody really policing the rules, making sure that everybody is playing fairly. So that our economy doesn't collapse again.
Okay, if elected, how will you affect change in that particular area and start to introduce us as many as you can, some of your key points that you're really emphasizing?
Absolutely, and at the heart of a lot of it is campaign finance reform. I think a lot of the problems that we've seen are because it's the Wall Street banks or the pharmaceutical companies have congressmen and congresswomen bought and paid for, and that influences their decision-making. They're not voting for their voters' interests, they're voting for special interests. So that's why I've pledged not to take a dime of corporate PAC money so that voters know that they've got, their best interests are in my heart. We need to make sure that we are protecting Dodd-Frank. We are enforcing the rules of the road for banks. We need to make sure that we have a Consumer Finance Protection Bureau that gives you a place to go to if you are getting overcharged by your bank or your credit card company, an agency you can go to that is going to fight on your behalf, that's going to investigate, and it'll return your money to you. And the CFPB has already returned tens of billions of dollars to people. So I think that's a really important step, is making sure the rules continue to operate as they were designed to do to prevent another financial crisis.
Well, having run against Tom Marino just, a year ago, basically, and now here you are back in the race again in a heavily Republican district, do you think the name recognition you garnered the first time around will be a benefit to you? Do you expect to do, how close do you think you'll come? Do you think you'll win, or do you think you'll come real close?
Oh, Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm in it to win it. I think the name recognition helps, but having more time to get around the district and meet people, listen to their concerns, have them get a chance to know me a little bit, I think that's the more important thing, and having more time to do that helps. But we are down to the final 3 weeks.
Are you meeting different people this time around, or are you just going back and re-cementing the relationships you developed the first time around?
Meeting new kinds of people, meeting with, you know, different union groups, for example, that haven't met with before, meeting with, well, being here in the studio right. certainly helps, but meeting with folks that we haven't met before to keep expanding the playing field is critical, yeah.
How are you being accepted by the Republicans you talk to? Are they being sympathetic or difficult? Or
Oh, they're sympathetic. I think they're you know, I think they're always glad to have choice, like any voter would be. I think they understand I'm running on protecting Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. These are programs that have worked well for us before, that I'm worried about what might come to them if we don't bring our financial house in order. I think those are the things that voters are happy to find common ground on.
Well, now today, the Democratic Congress is going to hold a hearing on Medicare for All. How does Mark Friedenberg stand on that?
You know, I think that health care is a fundamental right for every American. And my top priority is getting us there, making sure that every American has access to quality, affordable health care. What sets us apart from other countries on healthcare is just the cost per person. We're much higher than any other country, and so we need to find ways to bring down cost. I think that moving to a single-payer type system, taking the popular Medicare program and expanding it to other groups of people, would be very effective because Medicare has increased bargaining power. We can also decouple the employment status and healthcare status. That's going to give people freedom to start up small businesses. It's going to allow existing small businesses to be able to compete for talent more effectively against larger businesses. But at the same time, I'm pragmatic. So if it means that rather than Medicare for All, we can do a Medicare buy-in option for the people who want to buy into it, I would certainly support that as well, because it's far too important to play political games with.
What about the cost of it? I mean, we've heard so many people complain about, on the left, complain about President Trump saying he was going to be fiscally conservative and yet expanding the deficit. But this would expand the deficit. Medicare for All would definitely expand the deficit, wouldn't it?
No, it wouldn't. I mean, if you look at the goals that we all share, I think one of them is protections for people with pre-existing conditions, right? You look at somebody like my mother. She's had breast cancer twice, double mastectomy. She would be completely uninsurable if it weren't for the protections of the Affordable Care Act now. So we clearly can't go backwards, and we want to expand the number of people who have health insurance. We still have over 20 million Americans who are going without. We can reduce the costs, and instead of making it something that, you know, that businesses and employees are bearing, we can have it where you're paying your premiums to Medicare, and then again, you get that combined bargaining power that only a large single buyer could have. It'll reduce cost.
Well, one of the things that people, and I'll turn it back to Mark in a minute, but one of the things people complain about is the high cost of drugs in this country. And now many people still go to Canada and try and get their drugs cheaper up there. Wouldn't a good first step be trying to lower the cost of prescription medications for people?
Yeah, that's critical. And you're right. That's one of the top things I hear from voters about. You know, my insulin used to be $3 or $30 a month, and now it's $300 or $600 a month. And, you know, frankly, it's absurd that in 2019 we still don't have Medicare with the freedom to negotiate drug prices with the pharmaceutical companies. I'm not sure why that hasn't happened yet. I think, you know, looking at patent reform, I think is really important too, making sure that the we can get the generics to market faster. People going to Canada, you know, I understand that. We want to make sure that drugs are safe, but it's a huge out-of-pocket cost for people, and that's definitely an area where we can save some money.
What has seemed like a strange question a year ago, but the topic of reparations has been talked about as it relates to African Americans and then Native Americans. On this show, Democratic candidates, some of them that are running for president, are talking about reparations. You've heard the conversation. What's your view on that idea?
I mean, you know, slavery was the original sin of this country, and we still have people who aren't getting a fair chance now. And I think we need to be looking forward, making sure that we give everybody an equal opportunity to succeed. But some of these programs, you know, I'm not even sure as a practical matter how you would actually go about implementing something like that. So I'm not in favor of that.
All right. But going forward, what could we do? We still know we don't have equality for health care, for education, for housing or opportunity. What can we do going forward?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's just it, which is making sure we provide that equality of opportunity, which is, you know, in Pennsylvania, just to take one state, you know, we're at the bottom of the pile in terms of how equally we fund education across the Commonwealth. So if you're born into a poor zip code versus a rich zip code, you're going to get at least fewer dollars going to your education, statistically probably a worse education, going to be less prepared for college if you go to college, and you're going to get a lower paying job, and the cycle continues. I think that there's a role for the federal government to play in lifting up the standards of K-12 education, and also critically making it more affordable for people to go to college or other career and technical education so that they can be ready for the workforce and be able to work hard, but also to get paid fairly.
Some part of my audience is saying, well, some people want opportunity, they want better education, but some people do not. What do you say to that? That, you know, we have individuals, there's pockets of poverty in Pennsylvania, places where we really just don't have equal opportunity. And some folks say, well, if they wanted it, they'd get it. If they wanted to pull themselves up by the bootstraps, that's what Joe always says, they would do so.
I mean, I think, you know, we owe everybody that equal opportunity to succeed. I think everybody does want to succeed. I think that for some people, there are just too many hurdles. And that is... We have a couple of problems that follow from that. First, there's just the inherent unfairness of it. But second, we have human potential that is going untapped. We've got really smart people. They get randomly distributed all over the world. And so whoever's going to start the next Google or the next Tesla, if they don't get an equal chance to succeed, if they're not able to go to school, if they're not able to make the connections that wealthy Americans are, that's not going to be able to contribute to our economy.
Let's look at immigration for a moment. There's another caravan headed this way with about 10,000 people in it. They're just over the border from Mexico right now. We have the Congress of the United States apparently not wanting to work on immigration because they don't want to give President Trump a win. But yet even Cory Booker and some of the other key Democratic candidates for president are saying there is a problem at the border. Where do you stand on that, Mark?
Yeah, and you've highlighted, I think, the need for comprehensive immigration reform, which includes certainly security for the southern border, in some places, you know, adding more fencing, in some places, technology, drones or cameras, other places, more personnel, boots on the ground, if you will. We want to make sure that we have more immigration judges, that we're able to clear the backlog of asylum cases. We want to make sure that people aren't overstaying their visas. But on top of that, we need to reform the legal immigration system as well. We want talented individuals from around the world to come to the United States, to come to our universities, to contribute to our economy. And I think there is a real demand for that bipartisan immigration reform. I think we can get it done.
Catch and release?
The idea is that we want to have our asylum cases be heard fairly, and the issue really is one of a failure on the United States' parts to provide humanitarian relief and sort of diplomatic assistance in particularly Central American countries. That's why we see this surge in the number of people who are seeking asylum. I think if we are able to help those countries, most of the people are not going to come up through Mexico and try to declare asylum in the United States.
All right, we're going to take a break, but Mark Friedenberg is here. If you wish to call our show and ask him a question, feel free to do so. 1-800-795-9565. We have one email that's directed toward the candidate, 12th District U.S. candidate, the Democrat, Mark Friedenberg, is with us on the Mark. 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark, 848. We got 12 minutes left. We got one call coming in, another one waiting. We're talking about important topics.
Right, and one of them this morning, if you saw the news, Beto O'Rourke has now proclaimed that we have 10 years left on this planet if we don't do something about climate change and greenhouse emissions. 10 years. I think, what's his name, Al Gore proclaimed we'd all be dead by now anyway, but Beto's given us 10 more years. Environmentally, do you buy into that?
Do you buy into that? That's funny. Do you buy into that the sun is hot?
No. Joe? Do you buy into the fact we've got 10 years before we're all gone?
I'm sorry, Mark.
The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, scientists from around the world, peer-reviewed work, says that we've got about 12 years, not left on the planet, but time where we can take action before the effects of climate change begin to become irreversible, where the costs of our inaction now becomes far too high to bear. And what I say about that is, you know, certainly the science is indisputable, but we can take action to combat man-made climate change while at the same time growing our economy. We've been leaders in Pennsylvania in the last three energy revolutions in coal and oil and natural gas, and we're in a great position to be leaders in the fourth energy revolution, renewable energy. We've got the universities doing the work. We've got the research and doing the research and applied research. We've got manufacturing, and we've got a skilled workforce to do installation and maintenance. And we already have in Pennsylvania more solar installers working than we do coal miners. These trends are going to continue. I want to make sure that we're in a position to make money while we're doing it and also preventing that runaway effect of climate change.
All right, we got some callers on the line. Bobby, you get a minute on the radio. Go right ahead.
All right, thank you. I'm asking about health care reform. You know, of course, I'm 62 years old, so I'm kind of not old enough for Medicare. But I mean, you know, to try to set up some type of standard for, you know, families as well as, you know, individuals as they get older, and you know, I think that would be very beneficial. You know, of course, you know, it's hard, you know, as far as shopping for an insurance policy type thing. This way, more standards would be across the United States to say, okay, this is what we have to offer, and I think will be a lot more beneficial to the average family.
All right. So I guess just react to his remarks, not really a question. Thank you, Bobby. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, thank you, Bobby. And I agree. And one of the things that the Affordable Care Act did that people may forget about is that it raised the standards on essential services that employer-provided health care coverage needs to provide. And I think that's great. And also, it gave us a Medicaid expansion option in Pennsylvania. Now, my opponent didn't want to take it. Luckily, Governor Wolf did, and that gave us 750,000 people got coverage. That includes 71,000 people who are now getting treatment for opioid addiction who wouldn't have had it before, and $30 billion from the federal government coming into Pennsylvania because of the ACA that we wouldn't have if my opponent had his way.
All right, Lance, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in. We're giving callers about a minute today.
Okay. I'd just like to say that in 1970, those self-same people that were now telling us that we're all going to barbecue and everything, were telling us we were going to freeze to death. Well, that's just one thing. But anyway, what would your ideal gun laws look like? How far would you go with abortion? And do you believe in capital punishment?
Wow.
All right, three questions. Oh,
there's an hour.
But he
right
did
there.
Ask them within the 1 minute. All right, we'll get to it. All right, gun laws, changes in gun laws. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I'm a strong supporter of the Second Amendment, but we also need to do what we can to protect public health. And, you know, we are just a few days ago had another tragic shooting at a synagogue, this time in Pennsylvania, in California. And we had one in Pittsburgh back in October. We have a lot of angry, unwell people who are getting radicalized on the internet, primarily on Facebook and Reddit and more obscure sites like 8chan. And we have people who are suffering mental health crises. And I think when people have those mental health crises, following judicial process with a judge that's involved, I think we should be able to temporarily take away somebody's guns before they can cause harm to themselves or to other people.
Sometimes they call it a red flag law. Other gun law changes that would make us safer?
Yeah, I'd like to see universal background checks. Most gun owners do as well. Most NRA members do. I think that's a common sense measure. I want to make sure that we keep guns out of the hands of the bad guys and not out of the hands of the overwhelming majority of law-abiding gun owners.
Right. And abortion was his other question. How far would you go on abortion was his question.
I think the Roe framework has it about right. I think that this is not an area where the government ought to get involved in a decision between a woman, her doctor, and God. I think I'd like to see that personal liberty be respected.
All right. So keep that the same. And capital punishment, your view on executions?
I'm not sure that it is first applied fairly, that it's applied equally to every kind of defendant. There's at least one case that we know of where an innocent man was executed. It doesn't seem to have much of a deterrent effect either on crime. And if that's what we want to do, we want to have a deterrent effect. We want to keep people off the streets. And in some cases, we want it to be punitive. We want to punish. This is part of what the judicial system is designed to do. I'm not sure that capital punishment is really advancing our goals there.
Okay, so study it more, eliminate it, or where?
I think more study is always a good thing. Take a look at the data. I know Justice Breyer has made that a priority of his.
Could I ask you to put a label on yourself? Your opponent is an unabashed conservative. I mean, he makes no bones about saying he's a conservative. Listening to your opinions, I don't quite put you in the AOC school of the Democratic Party, but I'm not certain you're on the Tom Marino side of the scale either. So where does Mark Friedenberg fit into this equation?
I subscribe to the Friedenberg doctrine on most issues. I'm not sure if there's a label. I can tell you when I see a lot of my opponents' views, it involves corporate welfare, making sure that corporations get more and more, working class Americans get less and less, and I'm dead set against that.
All right, Mike, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, you're welcome. I have a question about long term health care for the elderly. When you just get so you can't be at home anymore by yourself and need somebody to take care of you all the time. I hear all this discussion about all this stuff, but Pennsylvania's getting older, the country's getting older. You don't hear anybody talking about long-term health care for the elderly that costs $9,000, $10,000 a month for a nursing home, which very, very few people can afford to pay. And I was wondering if you have some ideas about some way to improve that for the elderly.
All right, long-term health care for the elderly. All right, thank you so much, Mike. Or nursing care for anybody of any age who needs it, who maybe can't afford it.
Yeah. What a great question. Thank you, Mike. And absolutely, we do have an aging population in Pennsylvania. The Medicaid expansion, which we took, is helping people to pay for nursing home care. But I think we also could, it's better, most experts say, if people are able to stay in their home, the better health outcomes, they're happier as well. I think we can fund more programs for home health aides, while at the same time that's an area where we could use, those are jobs that we could use in this district as well. So having more in-home care and having home health aides come to people's homes every day, I think that's a great way forward.
Obviously, there's been a lot of talk about impeaching the president over the Mueller report and investigation after investigation. Today, the president has announced he's suing Deutsche Bank and some others to try and keep them from handing over his records, financial records. How important are these investigations to you? And, do you see an end somewhere in sight?
Well, the process will continue to play out through the courts, and, we'll see how that goes. But one thing that we saw come out of the Mueller report very, very clearly is that Russia attempted to interfere in our election in 2016. They tried to do it again in 2018, and we haven't pushed back in a meaningful way. So they're going to do it in 2019. They're going to do it in 2020. In fact, the director of the FBI said last week that for Russia, now it's a 365-day-a-year operation because they saw there were very low costs, really no cost, for interfering in our election. And the president, it seems that if you bring up the idea of election interference and what are we going to do to defend ourselves against it, sort of takes it personally, sees it as making, like somebody saying that his election was illegitimate. That's not the case. We want to make sure that every American's vote counts. That means we need to push back against Russia and push back hard.
Well, now Bernie Sanders is advocating that the felons in jail be allowed to vote. Where do you stand on that one?
Yeah, I think that after you've served your time, that's part of the deal that we make.
Talking about in jail.
Well, I think that if you're a convicted felon, you've served your time, and then you're out, that's where I would like to see people's full set of rights be restored.
But not while they're in jail?
That's right.
Okay.
Is Russia campaigning for you? Are they on your side in this election?
No, they are not. But we have gotten a lot of grassroots support from people across the district. I'm incredibly thankful to the hundreds of volunteers and the great staff that we have working with us on this campaign.
Compare and contrast yourself with Fred Keller. Pick out a couple of issues, a couple of two, three issues. Where do you stand? Where does he stand? What's the difference? difference?
Yeah, I think probably the biggest one would be on taxes and Social Security. You know, we saw with the GOP tax bill in 2017 added about $1.5 trillion to the deficit. 83% of the benefit of that went to the wealthiest Americans and to big corporations. And that would include Amazon, for example, which we just recently learned paid $0 in federal income tax for 2018. They've been able to buy Congress. They've been able to get the rules rewritten in their favor. We had smaller temporary cuts for working class Americans, but I think that's got it exactly backwards. I'd like to see bigger permanent cuts for working class Americans. And we all know what the next, you know, page out of the playbook is going to be for people like my opponent. It's going to be, oh, look, we've got this $1.5 trillion added to the deficit. We're going to have to make some cuts. We're going to have to raise the retirement age for Social Security. You know, actually, he's supported by this pretty extreme group called the Club for Growth that wants to eliminate Social Security as we know it, and you can see that right on their webpage, what they want to do. And they want to make it something that they can profit out of. That's their goal there. He wants to, you know, target Medicaid and target Medicare. And I think we need to push back against that. Eliminate the tax cut for the wealthiest Americans. Make permanent the tax cut for the working class.
But is it practical to assume that the people of the United States would accept their Social Security being taken back? I mean, it's an agreement we've had since President Roosevelt was in office. Trying to take it back, I mean, it's always something that people throw at each other. Oh, he's got to do something to Medicare. He's got to do something to Social Security. But practically, it's been the third rail in American politics for a long, long time.
Yeah, and you know, I agree. It's something that we can't touch. But you do see a lot of people saying, well, we ought to at least raise the retirement age. I think we need to lift the payroll tax so that the wealthiest Americans pay their same share that the rest of us do into Social Security.
Well, lift the cap on the payroll tax.
That's right.
All right.
Hey, Mark, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. And you and anyone else can call in up until the 21st on the election topics, and even after that, if you so choose. U.S. Congressional candidate Mark Friedenberg, the Democratic candidate. Thank you again for coming in. This is News Radio 1070 WDKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe McGranahan is across from me. U.S. Congressional candidate Mark Friedenberg was on the air earlier. We have some texts that are comments about his appearance, so we'll read those on the radio. We did receive one question from Mr. Friedenberg, but we did not get a chance to read it, so obviously we won't have the opportunity to get to that to questions. So because Mr. Friedenberg has moved on. We give the candidates 30 minutes, but they, like everyone else, are welcome to call in at some point in the future if they have a question or observation or they wish to weigh in on the topics we're discussing. So you will hear some additional candidates. We don't have any other political candidates of any office anywhere scheduled. So it certainly is possible in the next 3 weeks some folks are going to step forward, but so far so good.
Well, you should mention that Fred Keller, his opponent, has already been on.
Right, he's already been on. He made his initial appearance in person, announcing his candidacy, and then came back as a candidate one time. Mr. Friedenberg made an initial appearance via telephone and then made a campaign appearance just now. And again, as I mentioned, those candidates can call in about specific issues if they wish to, following the same guidelines and rules as other callers when they do call in. And that's, you have some time limits if callers are waiting, but otherwise we can engage you and ask you a few questions about different things. So we'll have some more political candidates here in the months ahead. Also, listen to our Sunrise show. There are some political candidates coming up there. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. We are also enjoying the toll-free line, which is sponsored by the Hometown Pharmacies. I'll elaborate them on 1 second. We want you to email us at onthemark@wkok.com if you have a question, or you can text us at 70236. The Hometown Pharmacies toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg, and the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. These hometown pharmacies want to really emphasize that every dollar spent locally stays in your local community 10 times over. So if you go to, let's say, the Duke Street, Route 147 location of the Norrie Pharmacy, he's going to take that dollar, he's going to go up the street to the Honor Roll or the Subway facility there, and they're going to go to Fry's Department Store, they're going to go to Heff and Beebe's, they're going to go around the corner to the Nori National Bank. So you see that that dollar is staying, and that's even just in one block distance. They can take it two blocks away, and you'll be supporting other businesses. Just the opposite happens. Go to the CBS in Nori, they take that dollar and they send it to China. So that does not help your local community at all whatsoever. Nori Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy, Shade Mountain Pharmacy. You can do the same thing in all of those towns where you make your dollar have a maximum impact. Snyder County residents and other Valley residents had a chance to weigh in on the legalization of marijuana last night. Michelle Siegel of Sealance Grove says she's for it. It's been a game changer for her.
I think that everybody should have the opportunity to get some relief, to take something. I don't see why an adult shouldn't be able to have that. I've been telling everybody that I know that is sick, talk to your doctor. They need to open it up to more diseases. In 6 weeks, it's changed my life.
36-year-old Josh Linder of Kramer, opposed to both medical and recreational marijuana, shared his concerns about the effects of the THC content, which is much stronger these days, the commercialization of marijuana, and the taxation. He has concerns that marijuana could be a gateway drug as well. Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman says he's heard it all.
It's affirmed my belief in Pennsylvanians as a whole, and in their ability to think and talk about an issue in a constructive way, because that's what we've seen now in 51 events.
Lieutenant Governor's going to be in Columbia County for event number 52. That is tomorrow night at Bloomsburg University, 6 to 7:30 p.m. He'll also be in the Wilkes-Barre area. No Northumberland County meeting has been scheduled yet, so we'll keep you posted about that. A section of Shikellamy Avenue will be closed next week. PennDOT says motorists who use Shikellamy Avenue and Upper Augusta Township are advised that Norfolk Southern plans to repair the rail crossing just north of Sunbury near the YBC. The crossing replacement is scheduled to begin Monday, May 6th. Work continues removing and replacing the existing rail seal and asphalt crossing until Friday. PennDOT says detours will be in effect using 4th Street, Market Street, and Front Street. Governor Tom Wolf says he wants to take a serious look at Pennsylvania joining a consortium of states that put a cap on greenhouse gas emissions from power plants. The Democrat spoke Monday at a news conference touting his administration's effort to fight climate change and set targets to slash Pennsylvania's future greenhouse gas emissions, one of which is a cap and trade system for carbon and other greenhouse gas emissions. He also talks about preserving our clean nuclear power plants. So maybe he'll, even though most of the public doesn't want to bail out the nuclear power industry, the governor says it's a form of clean energy and it is carbon free. So it is very likely that you're going to be hearing the governor may go for something that the populous part of the Pennsylvania does not want.
Won't matter. We're all going to be gone in 10 years, according to Beto.
Well, we got to get there. So we got to survive the 10 years anyway. And finally,
how many did Al give us? He gave us, we should have been gone by now, according to Al Gore.
I don't remember that. I'm sure other people do. They can fix us. All right, fix us up. Finally, from Sterling, Virginia. We're having a conference inside the studio. Well, they're having s'mores in the hallway, so that's what's...
They didn't bring us any.
No, that's all right. I don't need them. Finally, from Sterling, Virginia, a Northern Virginia Tech staffing company is apologizing for posting online a job offering that sought preferably Caucasian applicants. CNET Systems of Sterling, Virginia has since removed the post from LinkedIn and has issued an apology on Twitter. As for those posting the offer, CNET says they've been fired. The company also says in another post that it would prefer white applicants, that does not reflect what the company calls its core values of inclusivity and equality.
Really? That doesn't reflect their core values.
Well, maybe they already have a very, very, very diverse staff, and they're sort of doing a reverse affirmative action where they want some white old guys like
well,
us.
Well, reminds me, you know, it's amazing the outroar there. There wasn't much of an outroar about that group of holding a press conference or a presser event for Chicago mayor where they put black press only.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you have to be black or work for a black
media outlet.
Black media outlet, okay.
And you had to be black personally to get in.
Okay.
You know, but here, it's so clearly against the law. I mean, I think the people who put that in deserve to be fired.
Well,
you can't discriminate because of somebody's race.
But can you not seek women and minorities?
Maybe you can. Well, can you seek Caucasian people? If I put an ad in saying we prefer minority candidates,
well,
that would be just as bad. I mean, it's supposed to be a level playing field where we all have an equal chance at the job, right?
But don't women and minority candidates get additional footing or just the same footing?
They should get the same footing. The only preference I'm aware of is veterans get a 10-point preference if they're applying for a civil service job.
Okay.
As well they should.
Okay. So, applying for Caucasians only, individuals. So, if you are Caucasian, you could have applied for this job while they had the post up, and you'd get 10 points because...
Ideally, no minorities need apply. I mean, what kind of an ad is that?
That doesn't work. Well,
that's basically what it's saying.
So, is there any good reason to post that kind of an ad at all?
Well,
whatsoever.
I can't, if you had a program, let's say, and your business was reaching out to a specific segment of the community, let's say you were trying to increase black participation in your company, I think it would make sense to hire a black person for that job.
But to have the position openly advertised as open to all.
Right. I think you'd almost have to do that. But, I think you could make a valid decision that with this particular job, race is an issue, and therefore we are making the decision based on race. But I think the same thing would apply if you were reaching out to, let's say, a white community for some reason or another. It would maybe make sense to have someone hired, but you can't really say that. You have to give everybody a chance.
So you have to say that you're being honest, open and honest, but then you don't have to be.
Well, basically, Mark, you don't have to be anyway. I mean, I could put an ad there saying equal opportunity employer.
Absolutely, positively. Anybody, people of color, welcome.
But if I have prejudices and I'm a racist, it isn't going to matter.
You're going to hire me.
No, not
would
again.
Would you hire me again if you had the chance? I don't know. You'd have to
maybe,
think about it.
Maybe. Who knows? Yeah. Anyway, I think that was a very ill-advised ad.
You screwed up back in 1982, 83, 84,
yeah, somewhere in there.
Oh, no, not 87.
87, okay.
Yeah. You could have turned that ship around then. All right, 1-800-795-9565. We are talking about a company that said Caucasians welcome to apply, or preferably Caucasian applicants. They were looking at. We have some other sort of conversation starters that we can get to here.
We also have a lot of texts.
Stan's thumbs are alive and well. So I'm going to do this in order to encourage calls on this. Let's hear your reaction to Mark Friedenberg, a pretty solid Democratic candidate that was here. So if you have an opinion about his positions and I guess his demeanor, sounds like he'd be a good congressman to me. So call us and endorse him or tell him why you might be supporting Fred Keller. Call us immediately right now. 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. 1-800-795-9565. Joe, if you could do the text, since there's so many of them.
Well, one relates to Beto O'Rourke's prediction that we talked about. That's awesome. Only 10 years left. Why is it that these political hacks always predict doom and gloom 10 to 20 years out, and when that time passes and nothing has happened, they're either already dead or they give some lame excuse and why they were wrong? Climate change has been changing for millions of years. Okay, there's one.
All right. How about, I love it. Strong support of the Second Amendment, but then here comes the big but. Typical anti-freedom leftist.
I don't even know where you are. You're bouncing up and down like a...
Well, here's where I am, but I don't know where it goes. Anti-leftist...
Boy, I don't know where it goes either.
Maybe that's it. Anti-freedom.
Well, there's no period there.
Maybe he's a typical anti-freedom leftist. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So let's kind of get organized here. See, people send us texts. They don't fit into one window. So
then they don't necessarily come into our computer in the order in which they should.
Right.
Sometimes number one comes in last, number three comes in first, and number two is in
We read these three in the middle, and one of them ends with the words "appendot key fobs." We're not sure where that goes. goes. Oh, that might be one of the ones from yesterday. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. We'll get these organized so that we know how to read the texts. Stan, thank you so much for keeping in touch. Oh, I know what would help. The timestamp would help give you a clue. All right, so I'm helping Joe. We're going to take a quick break. 1-800-795-9565. That's the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line.
Hometown, such a warm and friendly word. A place of comfort, confidence, and friendship. And as the song goes, everybody knows your name. In today's culture of fast food service and big box mentality, it's nice to know that we can still rely on the warm and friendly comfort of Hometown Pharmacy. There's one near you. Friendly, knowledgeable staff that not only know you by name, but know your meds and know what's best for you, right down to the over-the-counter meds for those quick day-in, day-out situations that may arise. Your Hometown Pharmacy. That hometown feel that we all want. Hometown pharmacies, like the Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. In Mifflinburg, it's Trutz Pharmacy on Chestnut Street. Bloomsburg, it's the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop on Market Street. And the Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Your hometown is calling you. Your independent hometown pharmacy. Every season, every day.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark. 1-800-795-9565. We think we got the text sorted out, so start here, Joe.
Says, Trump tried to make sure the elections were uncorrupted after the inauguration and the states refused to cooperate with the Election Integrity Commission. I don't understand what those states were trying to hide.
Okay.
All right. And then another one says, there's no room in the socialist Dem Medicare for All plan for long-term care, for their solution is assisted suicide or euthanization.
All right. He's texting too fast. Then down here.
The state, this is from yesterday.
Right.
The state police are a law enforcement agency, and isn't their money budgeted for law enforcement? Law enforcement is the number one job of the state. No gas tax money.
Okay.
I don't see the next
part. No state gas tax money.
Money from PennDOT should be used to pay state police. That tax increase was sold to the people as necessary for road construction and repair, not law enforcement. That's as bad as PennDOT wasting money on swag at events they set up like the Bloom Fair. I understand informational brochures, but I don't need a PennDOT key fob.
All right. I think, Stan, we read them all. All right. If we missed one, reset it. But I think that takes care of them. So
all
we
right.
appreciate that. We also received this email yesterday related to funds.
From Dave on the Hill. Dave says, some unnamed bureaucrat made the decision to transfer those funds without legislative mandate. That person or persons involved should be identified and appropriate action taken. If it was a crime to do so, lock them up. I think that means moving the money out of PennDOT to
PennDOT's funds.
State
yeah.
police?
Yeah, I think the... Okay. Gotcha. Well,
I think the legislature did that.
Right. I think the budget included the transfer. So, but you can hold legislators liable.
Okay. Now, you're Mr. Environmental, and you always poo-poo me when I express any amount of skepticism.
Well, only because you don't think the planet's getting warmer, but that's okay.
Well, I'll concede it's getting warmer, but I
concede
all that. Man
had nothing to do with it. Right,
I think it's cyclical. It happens.
Oh, brother.
Man may contribute to it, but man can contribute the other way. Anyway, Beto says...
No wonder you won't go on a cruise. You're afraid you'll go off the edge of the earth.
I've been there, and there you were.
You're the edge. I'm on the edge. I gotcha.
Democratic presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke sounded the alarms Monday, saying that civilization has only 10 years left on Earth if no action is taken on climate change. The former Texas congressman unveiled the first major policy proposal of his candidacy, which is a climate change initiative that would cost $5 trillion over 10 years in hopes of reaching zero carbon emissions by 2050. But we're going to be gone in 10 years, so why is he shooting for something at 2050? I don't understand. Appearing on MSNBC, O'Rourke promoted his proposal, but was asked about his prior support from the oil and gas industry and whether the relationship would be a problem going forward. The question, asked by Chris Hayes, was, do you see the oil and gas industry as an opponent in that? Won't you have to declare yourself in opposition to their interests? O'Rourke responded yes, but said he is optimistic that the industry will take part in his initiative. But we're all going to be gone in 10 years, right?
Well, I think that's if we don't do something.
and doing something to be passing his legislation that calls for something to be done by 2050.
The first thing to do is to elect him president. That's the big thing, okay?
You're supporting this guy?
Oh, no, I'm supporting anybody but President Trump. So first we got to get a Democrat in there. Then we can get some common sense climate policy going.
I think if we're going to get climate sense policy for the climate, it's going to have to come from the Republicans. The Democrats, with their Green New Deal, they're so far out of the boat.
Well, the Green New Deal isn't a bill that's pending per se. It's a discussion.
It was a bill. They brought it up.
No, I understand it. I mean, it is a bill with a number. But that's not its intent. The goal is to bring up the conversation about various ways that we can get the nation to move forward. Now, a lot of people don't want the nation to move forward, but there are some common sense people like you who say, okay, well, let's look at some of these measures individually. What is it? You know, we say, well, we're not going to fly in the decades ahead. Well, flying is a high use of petroleum fuels.
We're going to get rid of cows.
Is there another? Do you think there's any other way to traverse the world without flying that might have a less of a carbon footprint?
Well, sure. AOC has suggested rail traffic. If we could just figure out a way to build the rails across the ocean, we'd be in business.
So there's a conversation that's worth holding, worth exploring, some science worth developing, or some technology worth developing. You know, this idea that sprawling into the rural countryside, increasing our built-out communities so that we get more and more and more water runoff all the time. Obviously, look at the Susquehanna River right now, and you'll see that, half of our topsoil from upriver is coming down now. Is there anything that we should do about that?
But, Mark, topsoil has always flowed into rivers as the result of rain, heavy rains. It happens.
Actually, before the built-out community that's part of our world, if you go to streams that are in mountainous areas now where they don't have development to feed into them, you don't get the brown water. The water gets higher, but it doesn't get browner. But the bottom line is soil conservation is what I'm talking about. So you think
we've
soil conservation...
Well, we have plans in place for soil conservation.
And you think
there are laws on the books for soil conservation, are there not?
And we've done enough?
Well, how much more do we need to do to prevent us from being gone in 10 years, let's say?
I don't know that the soil and the 10-year idea go together. I think we can wash quite a bit of soil downstream and still be okay.
Remember years ago when the hole in the ozone layer, it's going to be terrible. We're all going to die of sun poisoning.
All right. Well,
and the hole actually closed up.
Whatever common sense measure we take that would help the ecology.
How do you explain that?
Whatever common sense measure we describe.
Explain that to me, please.
What do you want to know?
The hole in the ozone layer. How is it that after all the talk we heard about it, we're all going to die of skin cancer, it's all going to be terrible, the hole closed?
How about this? We reduced our level of fluorochlorocarbons that were creating the ozone problem, and that helped resolve the issue?
We didn't eliminate them. We cut back in some instances. Other countries still use them.
Well, apparently sufficiently so that it began to recover either on its own. Maybe it's cyclical. Maybe the ozone comes and goes. All right, we got callers coming in left and right. 1-800-795-9565. I don't know. I'm not a climate scientist. I only stayed at a Holiday Inn last night. Dan, you're on the mark.
Hey,
that's a Holiday
good
Inn Express.
Guys. Well, you know, I'm hoping I'll be gone in 10 years, and not by the Undertaker, not by global climate change, by the Uppertaker, Jesus Christ. That's what I'm hoping for. And many of us people that believe in the rapture, we were hoping to be taken up by the year 2000, but it didn't happen. Now, most of us don't predict the time because we know that's a false idea. But I believe the Earth will be here forever, and God's going to change it, but we're not going to be destructed by climate change. There's going to be no destruction of Earth by that. I believe it's mostly a hoax in order to get more control over the people, especially of the United States.
Dan, what does the phrase creation care mean to you? I mean, other than not much.
It means everything. I believe we're taking good care of the Earth better than we ever did. And there's more regulations. There's probably more than we need right now on water, and air. We don't have the smog anymore that we used to. All the smog's in China now. We took care of it here. But even if we would go crazy with regulations, we'd do everything.
Well, how about if we don't do it with regulations? Why don't we just voluntarily take better care of our climate?
I think we are. I think most of us are. But what about the rest of the world? We might do everything that the regulators want here, but what about China? What about the other countries? They're not going to do anything. They put it all on the United States. We'll be regulated to death, and the rest of the world will be polluting, polluting, and polluting. So even if you believed in man-made climate change, what good would it do? And I don't believe in man-made climate change. I believe basically what Joe said, there's going to be the Earth's changing. I don't believe for millions of years, as he said, but it's been changing for thousands of years quite drastically after the Noah flood. It changed drastically, and after the fall of man, it changed too. So,
well, fortunately, you and Joe are so far into the minority that it isn't going to matter. So, if you never get on board, folks like yourselves will be anomalies, and it's not going to hurt us that enough forward-thinking people exist, science-based people exist, so that we're going to.
Yeah, 10 years, and we're all going to be gone, Dan. That's really science-based.
You know what, Bill Mark?
That's
you know
Buttigieg,
you say
right?
A lot of science community O'Rourke. Believe that. But that's a false narrative.
Right.
I can take you to scientists. You even had some on your radio station already that they believe it's a hoax. Man-made climate change is a hoax.
Oh, we've had a couple
I believe
people.
In climate change. It's changing all the time. But we're not going to be done in with man-made climate change.
Gotcha. All right,
okay,
we got
thanks,
other calls.
Yeah, we got
guys,
two calls.
Have a good one.
Thank you so much. That takes us to Cindy. Cindy, you're on the mark.
I would like to talk about the budget, the state police and the budget and et cetera, et cetera. Is that okay?
Sure.
Please do.
Climate change. Well, first of all, I don't know if y'all remember, but when that man up in northeastern Pennsylvania shot those two state policemen,
Eric Frayne,
state police commissioner came out and announced that half the state police were up there for 6 or 8 weeks, however long that search went on, conducting that search, half of them. And I'd like to point out that in that time, we did not fall into the abyss. We got along just fine without half of the state police we have. This leads me, as a data-driven decision-maker, to ask myself, if don't we have too many state police? And I think we do, and I think we need to reconsider the numbers, number one.
Well, they say they need more.
No, we need fewer, far fewer. And,
okay.
You know, that's part of that is the covert argument in things like legalizing marijuana, because, of course, there are lots of state policemen whose jobs are driven by dealing with this issue of whether or not people can smoke marijuana. And the court system is consumed with, you know, dealing with people who've been caught. And the prison system is... So all of these vested employment opportunities would be adversely impacted were we to legalize recreational marijuana. So, of course, there's this undercurrent, this tension about it. But secondly, the state police do have a role in enforcing the laws of our roads. As best I know, I've seen them running traffic issues. I've seen them escorting big rigs with big heavy loads on them. I have seen them managing accidents and all those kinds of things. So it seems reasonable to me that some of these dollars go to paying state policemen for what they do to make the traffic system run. I think it's also dishonest to not also discuss where else are these dollars going. For example, did you know that some of these dollars go to run a intervention of if you break down on certain roads around the Philadelphia region, they come out and tow you away, that we, the taxpayers, are paying for this service for certain roads, and I know that exists around Philadelphia. Why am I paying for that? Those people should have to pay for the tow truck. Now, they argue that this should be paid for by this highway dollars because it keeps the traffic moving. Well, you know, that undoubtedly is true, but that would be true everywhere. And I certainly don't advocate that we, the taxpayers, pay to have tow truck systems running all across the state in case you break down.
But, Cindy, if you do avail yourself of that service, you have to pay them to get your car out. They don't just give you the free tow. You have to pay.
Well, you should get on the phone. Like, there are businesses in this Commonwealth. I have joined one of them on occasion. There are some car insurance companies that also provide this service to people. So why am I, the taxpayer, paying for it? That's an example of socializing a service.
But in the end, you're not paying for it if they want their car back.
Now the government is doing it.
Cindy, you're not paying for it in the end. If they want their car back, they have to reimburse the towing company for the cost.
Which would be true no matter who you got. So let them call the alternative programs to get towed. It shouldn't be run by the state. We shouldn't be involved in that.
But it's
we
a matter
shouldn't be using tax dollars for that.
It's a matter of clearing the roads for safety.
If the person never pays for it, then where are we? On the hook for
We've
it.
We've got their car.
Well, that'll make a huge difference, I'm sure. I think there are lots of things. That the money is also being diverted to things like these walking trails and to making walkable communities and all those things. And not that those aren't things that people have great passions for, bicycle trails, all that stuff, but those are dollars that are diverted from what was supposed to be fixing these derelict bridges and repairing highways. And because they call them transportation dollars, they more liberally run them around.
All right.
Use them for other things.
Thank you so much.
I think it's not fair to just be dumping on the state police, but I do think we have too many state police. I understand their benefits. The cost of their benefits equals 100% of the cost of their salaries. Now, for most of us, the cost of our benefits is about 25 to 30% of the cost of our salaries.
But they get super-duper pensions and super-duper health care. So.
Exactly.
And negotiated. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. State police funding. We talked a little bit about PennDOT funding. We had Mark Friedenberg here. We have talked about climate change, the fact that our Earth is getting warmer and man is the reason, even though Dan and Joe sit there with their arms folded and say, no, it's not true. 1-800-795-9565. Call us. Oops, all the lines are lit up. One is open. So we got one Hometown Pharmacy toll-free line that's open. 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Three callers waiting and one email and one text. The email, Joe, if you would, please.
All right. Dave on the Hill says, when you hear what all the other countries promise in that Paris climate treaty that Trump got us out of, you know that he was right. Some promise to do something in 20 or 30 years, and some promise to do something sometime in the future. We are only a small percentage of the world's population, so it's not all our fault.
Yeah, between 2.2 and 2.5%, depending upon which estimate. That's or 4 point. I'm
four,
sorry, 4
about
point.
4 point.
Yeah, about 4.3% of the world's population are U.S.
Ain't our fault.
Citizens. All right, who has waited the longest? Paul is next. Good morning, sir. You are on the mark.
I have more or less a point of interest.
Unanswerable question?
Well, you might say that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you that I think I know what the problem is with all this killing going on pertaining to religion. And it is because Hitler wanted Germany to be the religious capital of the world, and the headquarters were to be in Berlin. Now, this is according to Bill Riley, because he wrote the book on Patton's death.
Was he a Lutheran?
And because
was he a Lutheran?
Bill O'Reilly?
Ah!
It's a Catholic.
Bill O'Reilly.
First of all, I think you got that a little wrong. Hitler did not like religion. He wanted to create a Nazi religion that was entirely different from Christianity or Judaism or any of the other Orthodox faiths. So,
but, Joe, it would have been a religion to him. Anything that you believe in is a religion.
Well, I believe in my beliefs in climate change. That ain't a religion.
No, but you could make it a religion because in the beginning, man worshipped nature.
Everybody has a God-shaped hole in them, and everybody worships something.
Well, I know, but here's the point. The point is that David was approached by a prophet, and he said the prophet told him from God that he was to go into the mountain and find the Philistines and kill every man, woman, and child. And the beast thereof was not to be eaten, for the flesh is forbidden.
What does that have to do with climate? Is President Trump the beast?
No. I said there was two points that I wanted to point
out. Oh, I see.
Out.
Okay, totally
and
unrelated.
That was the killing of the people now based on religion. And the other thing that I wanted to point out to you is, even though it doesn't make any difference, I want to thank Joe for giving me the idea, and that was that he said that what we ought to do is take the history book, rip out the pages, and throw them away. And
so I never I decided, said that.
Oh, yeah, you did.
When did I say
you,
that?
Because you hate history and science.
I never said anything like that.
The only thing
like
you
that.
Like is English.
But what it did, it gave me the idea that I was to take my 12,863 photos and burn my negatives and burn my prints and shred my copies, because what is happening now will happen later in the future. So why not get rid of what used to be and not look forward to it happening again?
Well, it is unanswerable. I was on the right track. All right. Thank you so much, Paul. Appreciate the call.
I have a headache.
Dale, bring us back to Earth, if you would, please.
Well, climate change is just a repeat of history. When the Romans realized that their empire was collapsing and no one wanted to fight them no more, they had to tell their people that the sky was falling. So basically, that's the same scenario there. Well, we ain't fighting no more wars than now. That's our false narrative of the war is climate. So I just say, I think in order for us not to collapse, as empire, I think everybody should be taxed 7%. They should make $1 million. You only have to pay 2%. And then put up a big wall around all borders. Just lock everybody in. I mean, that's probably where we should be. We should all be for America.
It's America.
Right?
Right. We should be for America.
What do you think? I mean, that's a good scenario. Tax everybody 70% unless you make $1 million. That's the only way to, you know, the empire won't collapse.
We definitely should.
I just think that global warming is a false war. So I don't know.
So everybody who makes less than $1 million pays 7% tax, but a millionaire pays 2%?
Yep. No, 75%. Everybody who makes under $1 million, 75% tax.
75% of their taxes, and a person who makes $1 million pays 2%?
Yes, that's the way that's how you get the wheel to keep turning.
All right.
Okay.
We got you. All right, let's move on. Harry, and now we invite you to bring us back to Earth.
I'm kind of flustered here because after those last two, I have no idea what's going on in the world now.
You ain't alone, brother.
What I wanted to say, though, is touch on the state police. I have a I'm a little confused, too. I mean, they're getting all this money from that motor fund, which they're not supposed to get. And I do know that part of their funding comes from, and it's by law, 1% of the PLCB gross revenue goes to them because that pays for enforcement. Because remember, in the old days, we were old enough, all us guys are old enough, we remember LCB agents. Now it's the Pennsylvania State Police who does that job. And they get funded by that. So they're getting funded by the Motor Vehicle Fund. They're getting funded by the PLCB. I don't know who else is funding them, but aren't they funding themselves at all with anything? Don't they have a budget that they have to follow?
Sure they do. It's a state-imposed budget.
But it's money that comes from funds it's not supposed to be drawn from.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's... I'd love to be able to run my house that way. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'd like to live on Joe's income.
I'm sure they get fines and fines and court costs. I mean, they arrest people for speeding. There's a fine involved. It goes to the state. And even when municipal police arrest somebody for speeding, part of that goes to the state.
Right, but that's my point. My point is that everybody else is funding them, but they don't seem to have to watch what they spend and to stay within that budget like everybody else does. It's kind of going bass backwards.
Okay. We're not going to beep you for that.
Well, we actually allowed somebody to say the actual word the other day and didn't beep them. Okay. In any event, but look at it this way, Harry. I mean, the state police have multiple responsibilities. They have traffic responsibilities. They have enforcement responsibilities with respect to things like alcohol abuse and drug abuse. They are called upon by municipalities to provide forensic services, accident reconstruction services. The state police do a lot with relatively small amount of resources compared to some other police agencies. And despite Cindy usually being 100% right, in this case, I think she's about 89% wrong. I don't think we need fewer state police. I think we might need a few more. But either that or we need to reduce the number of things that they're called on to do.
And I don't have the answer there. I'm not trying to go that direction because I didn't look into that. But I'm curious as to all these years, were they being funded illegally all these years?
I think that's what started.
There's nothing illegal about it if the state legislature determines that...
No, sir. Joe, it was very clearly stated that is against the state constitution to...
To what?
Divert money.
What?
Oh, we're losing him.
You're breaking up, Harry.
Harry and I are breaking up. We hardly know each other as it is.
What's against the state? We lost you after you said it's against the state constitution. What is?
It's against the state constitution to be funded out of there, to take the money from that fund for the state police. So therefore, that makes it illegal.
Well, then nobody's challenged it to the state Supreme Court because they've been doing it for years.
Well, I understand that. But if somebody else has been robbing a business they worked for 10 years and nobody caught them, that doesn't make it right either, does it?
All right, we
no,
got you.
No, but the statute of limitations might preclude some part of that from being charged.
Thank you so much, Harry.
Yeah, but Joe, we're missing the point. The point is that they're not supposed to be funded that way.
Right.
That's what the point is.
Right. So we got to come up with a solution.
But what I'm saying is the state legislature has determined it, so if they're violating the law, someone should certainly take them to task for it. It would be a conspiracy between Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah, but now you're into the realm of impossibility. The legislature acting responsibly and intelligent.
Okay, that ain't going to happen.
I'm not going to argue that with you,
Harry. I hope you run for state office over there. Are you in Fred Keller's district?
I was not. I mean, I am. I think I am now because of. Well, I know I am now because of running. But yeah, but.
Because of running?
I'd run. I don't think the competition is that stiff.
Right. Yeah, nobody's come forward yet. Okay, sounds super. All right, thank you so much, Harry. Thanks for calling in. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. On the Mark's brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. It's a family-owned dealership since 1915. They invite you to do as I have done. Go to their website, sunburymotors.com, and I build my next Ford to my precise specifications, but you can do one too. You can do a car made by Ford, like a Focus, or you can do a Hyundai Sonata or a Kia Sorento or a Telluride, or you can do a Lincoln car or truck to your precise specifications. Specifications. They got some wonderful vehicles on the Lincoln site, and you can build it exactly as you want it. Odds are they already have one that fits your needs on the Sunbury Motor Company's lot. And if you are not interested in a new vehicle, guess they would got previously owned vehicles, hundreds of them, and they're in perfect condition. They're also a premier service provider for all makes of cars and trucks. That's in the quick lane. And they got a towing service that's called a master towing service. That means they really know what they're doing. Decades of damage-free experience, a century of damage-free experience. How about that? It's at the Sunbury Motor Company. Check out the details at sunburymotors.com. Call us now, 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark, 1-800-795-9565. Chris wants to talk about ooze. What do you want to say about ooze?
Ooze. Ozone.
Ozone. Oh, said ooze.
I was wondering what the problem was with the science and the ozone hole. They discovered what was causing it. They cut down or cut production of it. With an international treaty that was largely successful, and the hole closed up about maybe a little faster than they predicted.
Okay.
What were you attacking about the ozone layer?
Joe doesn't believe
it. I wasn't attacking anything. I just pointed out that it is healing up.
He doesn't believe it.
Even the UN says it's healing.
You were talking about the predicted catastrophes and said, what happened to the ozone hole?
Well, that's just it. What happened to it?
That was going
to
kill us all.
Right, it was. And it's not completely healed.
And scientists went to work on it and discovered it, and then the world came to a solution.
Well, let me put you...
Why do you want to do something different with climate change?
Well, let me tell you what the United Nations says. As a result, the upper ozone layer above the northern hemisphere should be completely repaired in the 2030s, and the gaping Antarctic ozone hole should disappear in the 2060s. So it's not solved yet, but it is healing.
It's working.
And right, and there's some belief that it's just some of what we did, and some just natural.
That's right. Some can make up anything, but so far I think the scientists are holding pretty firm that it's just healing a little faster than they were predicting. And there is some extra fluorocarbons in the air now. They're not sure where they're coming from. They don't know if somebody's secretly manufacturing it and using it, or whether it's just old storage of old appliances that's breaking down and they didn't properly take them out and dispose of them.
Chris, you have 1 minute. Go ahead.
Okay, I'd also like to know what you think of the school and the cyber schools and giving money to the cyber schools or parents to get education. It seems to me like if you can use the public schools or start your own. But why are we paying people who use private schools? It's like, I decided not to have any kids, therefore I'm not using the school. Give me $1,100, because that's what, if I had a kid, that's what it would cost. You know, it's just kind of ridiculous.
Well, I think free public education has been the cornerstone of this country, at least in grades kindergarten through 12. I don't think we should mess with that.
Well, they're messing with the way they fund cyber schools and private schools now. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, we may agree on this one, Chris.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Well, let's stop
good
on that note. Thank you so much, Chris. Appreciate the call. Chris was talking on the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. We invite you to use that telephone number tomorrow to contact the show. Mr. Joe McGranahan will be back. We'll have 90 minutes of open phone. We got some real conversation starters to get things started tomorrow morning. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury, 10 o'clock.